Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 13. In verse 34, the Word of God says, "A new commandment I give to you." Now, before, there were the Ten Commandments that Moses gave. Jesus is saying here, "I'm doing away with the Ten Commandments as your primary way of living, and I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also, in the same way that God loves you, that you love one another." Because it's a commandment, it's not an option, it's a requirement. Young people, listen to this carefully. Learn to love while you are young. Learn to love while you are young. If you don't learn to love while you are young, it will be much harder to learn it when you get older. Learn to love while you are young. When I say love, I'm not talking about like. Sometimes people say, "I can't love because I don't like." No, like and love are two different things. They are not the same thing. They are two different things. To like someone involves your emotions. It involves something that you like about them. Maybe you like their sense of humor, or maybe they're friendly and you like that, or maybe they're a nice person and you like them. But it's always dependent on them. It's not about liking anyone. Love does not require you to like someone. Now, love is something that is definite and it's specific, but it's not involving the emotions. Emotions have nothing to do with love. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I love such and such." They fall in love or what have you. That's not the same as love. That's not actually love. That can be affection. That can be what's called infatuation, which means that butterfly feeling that sometimes people get, "Oh, he likes me. Oh, she likes me." And all of a sudden these very flowery thoughts come into your mind and the imagination starts going wild with it. That's not love either. In young people, sometimes it's just hormones, chemicals. And because chemicals are starting to work in their body that have not worked before, they think they're in love. But no, they're not in love. They're just in chemicals. It's a chemically induced state. And they don't realize it, but they think it's love. That's not love either. Learn to love according to what love is. Now, the Bible tells us exactly what love is. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, and I'm not going to go through all the traits. I'm just going to talk about a very small number of them, which are the source of all the rest of them. If you have the basic traits, the rest of them will follow. Well, number one, love endures long and it's patient. Love does not have a McDonald's mentality where if it's not quick and easy, it's not worth it. No, love is very patient, and because it's very patient, it'll stick it out. It will endure with somebody who is not lovely. It's very patient. Now, the funny thing about love is that that is the first characteristic of God's love, is patience. Patience comes when you don't like something that's going on. When you don't like what somebody is doing. When you don't, perhaps, like somebody's personality. Or you don't like their behavior. Or there's something about them that you don't like. Well, love starts where you don't like. Where there is no appreciation in the emotions. But the first characteristic is this patience, and if you have patience, you'll endure a long time. The second characteristic comes from the first one, love is kind. You're very kind to people. Even though they may not deserve something, you give it to them anyway. They may not deserve for you to be friendly to them, but you're friendly anyway. They may not deserve for you to care about them, but you care about them anyway. They may not deserve for you to be, let's say, nice to them or compassionate toward them, but you are anyway. It's not in the emotions, it's a decision. Somebody acts like a total jerk, and you don't respond as though they're acting like a total jerk. You respond in kindness. You don't get mad at them. You don't yell at them. You're very gentle with them. Well, you're being kind in that kind of a situation. Love doesn't envy or get jealous. You never get negative because somebody has something you don't, thinking, oh, I wish I had that. The problem with it is not, it would be nice if I had that. The problem is where you develop a negative attitude because you don't have that, but somebody else does. You don't get that kind of negativity. Also, love isn't boastful. It's not a bragging kind of a thing. Love does not brag. Love doesn't seek its own glory. You know what it's like in school when a kid is good in some sport somewhere, maybe softball or kickball or whatever, basketball, and the kid scores a basket and then they act like they're all that and a bag of chips and they put out their arms or they take a bow or they act like all that. Sometimes you see that in adults on the football field. They're acting like idiots. Oh, you put a ball through a hoop. That changes the world. You put a ball through a hoop. Oh, that'll cure cancer. Who cares if you put a ball through a hoop? It makes no difference whatsoever if you put a ball through a hoop. It's fun. Nobody's saying it's not fun. But as far as the world goes, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with it. But it doesn't give you any kind of virtue or character or anything beyond the fact that you can put a ball through a hoop. Amazingly enough, there's people who will pay a lot of money to you if you can put a ball through a hoop. I could never figure that one out. But it still doesn't amount to anything. It's fun. And there's nothing wrong with fun. Okay, so it's fun. But love isn't like that. One of the coolest football players in the world ever was Jim Brown. Jim Brown would take the ball and do remarkable things with it. And then when he was done, he would act like, well, this is normal. I do this all the time. No big deal. I always wondered to myself if these football players, once they score a goal and they act like all that and a bag of chips, if they would act like Jim Brown. You know how intimidating that would be to the other side? I do this all the time. This is no big deal. This is like eating breakfast. That would blow their minds. If they were that cool about it, yeah, this is normal. This is nothing. There's nothing here to celebrate. I put on my shoes. I don't celebrate that. I score touchdowns. I don't celebrate that. I do it all the time. Now, that would be cool. But that's what he was like. And he turned out to be one of the best football players of all time. He played decades ago, and they still talk about him as the best. You see, that's the kind of thing. Love doesn't look for its own glory. It gives it its all. It does things with all its heart, but it doesn't look for any glory in it. Jim Brown played football for the love of the game. Well, you know what? We love people just for the sake of love. We're kind to people just for the sake of being kind. We're patient with people just for the sake of being patient. We don't brag about things. We don't get all boastful. And by the way, next thing, love is not arrogant. And it's not conceited. If somebody's rude to someone, it tells you they're very arrogant. they elevate themselves above the other person to such a high level that that person doesn't have any worth in their eyes, and they can just as easily be arrogant to them. They can sweep them aside the same way that you sweep dirt aside when you go clean your house. Because that's all the value they have. They're arrogant. They see themselves as being so high up and everybody is being so low that they can be unkind to them. They can be negative toward them. They can speak hurtful words to them because they're arrogant. They don't love. Love is not arrogant or conceited. And this is the last one we're going to touch on. Love thinks no evil. Sometimes you run into people who are going to think evil of other people. Love doesn't think evil of other people. Love will not receive an accusation either from the devil or from another person about someone. Love refuses to think evil. Now, that doesn't mean that love is dumb. This does not mean that if you love, that you stop thinking. It does not mean that if you love, you don't recognize things that are wrong. You don't dwell on them. Let me give you an example of when somebody got dumb with this kind of misunderstanding of love. I'm not going to give the details of the event, but I'll give you the generalities. Several years ago, there were some very bad people, and those very bad people killed a lot of people. And they prepared to do that in their house, in their garage. Except to prepare to do that takes a lot of work. And their neighbors noticed that they're doing very strange and suspicious things in their garage. But they thought to themselves, well, we don't want to think evil of our neighbor. Therefore, what is obvious to us, we're not going to entertain that in our thinking because we don't want to think badly of our neighbor. Had they acted on what they recognized to be obvious, they would have called the police. And the police would have come, found what those people were doing, and arrested them, and all those people would not have died. You see, we don't get dumb just because we love. Sometimes there's a tendency to do that. People will say, well, I love them, I cannot think anything evil of them, and therefore I overlook the obvious. But that's not what that means. Love thinking no evil means that you don't allow Satan to whisper thoughts into your thinking whereby you would think negative things toward that person and you would stew on them. You don't look at what somebody's doing and judge them and think, well, they are bad or this is wrong, if you don't understand really what's going on. Now, in those people's case, if you see people carrying machine guns into their garage, that's obvious. But sometimes people say, oh, machine gun into the garage. Well, who wouldn't want a machine gun in their garage? I guess. You see, we don't get dumb. Love uses its sense, too. Love thinks, too. Love uses the Word of God to think with. The fact that you love does not mean you stop thinking. The fact that you love means you think using the Word of God. And the Word of God gives you a lot of wisdom. The Word of God will tell you when something is wrong. You don't ignore it because you know how to use the Word of God. On the other hand, when the Word of God doesn't tell you it's wrong, doesn't tell you watch out, there are some cases where the Word of God says you mark and avoid people in Romans 16:17, and those are the people who bring division. Well, you know what? You recognize that. You don't think to yourself when you see somebody accusing somebody else, especially if it's false, but really in any situation, unless of course it's a crime and then they have to go to the police. But if you see a situation like that, you don't go on fellowship with that person. You don't sit to lunch with that person. You know the type of people that'll gossip. Well, did you see Cindy, what she did today? And all this nasty stuff. No, you don't hang around those kind of people. You see, that's not thinking evil. That's protecting yourself from thinking evil. Well, when love thinks no evil, it won't accept any evil thinking. So you want to make sure that you understand that. Another thing that love is not this thing that teenagers, from the teenage years, sometimes a little earlier than the teenage years, I would say easily through your 30s, this is pretty common. People think love is this butterfly thing. They see somebody that they are attracted to and they think they've fallen in love. No, you've fallen in chemicals. That's what you have fallen into. That's not love either. Or they think that love is a physical expression. Sometimes you'll see this it starts in middle school really, and you can see a lot of it in high schools for sure. You get these kids and they're hanging all over each other in the hallways. That's not love. That's lust. That's chemicals. You want no part of that. That's not love. It's destructive. 1 Corinthians 7:1 says, you don't touch each other. That's not love. If somebody wants to touch you without you being married to them, that's not love. You don't let them touch you. I'm not saying they can't pat you on the back or shake your hand, or if they're a close friend or relative, even give you a hug. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about touch you in the wrong way. That's not love. Love is patience and kindness, humility, things like that. That's love. Now, you keep yourself in God's love in Jude 21. You do it by looking for mercy. In everything, you look for the mercy of God. The mercy of God is God's gentleness and His compassion put together. If you make a mistake, God will be very compassionate and very gentle. He's not going to think evil things of you because you made a mistake. He'll be very compassionate and very gentle. Look for His gentleness and His compassion in everything. You get into a difficult situation, look for God's gentleness and God's compassion. You encounter somebody who's difficult to be around. Look for God's gentleness and His compassion. That will equip you to deal with difficult people. Remember something. We love Him because He first loves us. That's important. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your strength, and your soul, and your mind. And then, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, loving God is the most important of the commandments. Love God. If you learn how to love God, you will know how to love other people. Now, you cannot know how to love God unless you let God love you. The way that you let God love you, it's by looking for His mercy, His gentleness, and His compassion. So in everything, look for His gentleness and His compassion. If you do this, once you learn how to love, John 13:35 says that by this men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's it right there. If you love one another, not emotions, not feelings, not physical, patience, kindness, humility, thinking no evil, if you have that one toward another, then you know that you're a disciple of God. The most wonderful thing in the world, the greatest honor, the greatest accomplishment any human being can have is to be a disciple of God. I don't care if you're the best basketball player in the world. I don't care if you're the best doctor. I don't care if you're the best anything. There's no greater achievement than being a disciple of God. And you'll know that you're a disciple of God when you learn how to love one another. Young people, learn it while you're young. Learn it while you're young. Let that become what you do instinctively, automatically. Learn it while you're young. If you wait till you're older, it'll be a whole lot harder. Learn it while you're young. And then when you're older, it's going to serve you very well. Because when you're a disciple of God, then you've got all kinds of help from God on your side. You guys understand? All right, that's it for today.